Érettségi vizsga angol nyelvből. Hallott szövegértése emelt szint.
Welcome to the listening component of the Matura examination. The listening material and the instructions are recorded on this CD, and the tasks and instructions are printed in your test booklet. There will be three tasks, and every recording will be played twice. The tasks will begin with some music, and then you will hear, and you can also read, the instructions to the task. This will be followed by a silent period on the CD, in order to give you some time to look at the task in your test booklet before hearing the text. Then we will play the recording in one piece. After another short silent period, we will play the recording for the second time, but now in shorter sections and with breaks between the sections, in order to give you enough time to write down your answers. You will also have some time to check your work at the end of each task. Please note that the first item in each task, marked with a tick, is always an example. The whole test is about 30 minutes long. Good luck! Task 1. In this section, you will hear a story about Ernest Ditmore, who lives in a hole in the ground. Your task will be to decide whether the following statements are true, false, or we do not know because the text does not say, and write the appropriate letter in the boxes on the right. Write A if the statement is true, write B if the statement is false, and write C if the text does not say. First, you will have some time to look at the task, and then we will play the whole recording in one piece. Then you will hear the recording again, but this time we will play the text in shorter sections to give you enough time to write down your answers. A means true, B means false, C means the text does not say. Now look at the task in your booklet. Now, listen to the recording.
The 1,250 residents of Troy, Missouri, tend to think of Ernest Ditmore as somewhat eccentric. Partly, it's because he's toothless and sooty. Mostly, it's because he lives in a hole. This is not to speak disparagingly of the man's abode. Ditmore, 78, resides in a hole dug 7 feet underground and partly covered by a cement slab, a 4-by-10-foot hole, complete with a chimney, stove, and a coal oil lantern. Ditmore was born and raised on a farm he calls home. A bachelor, he was living alone in his 6-room house when it was destroyed by fire in 1985. His friends and neighbors got together and bought him a trailer house. Ditmore was grateful. He thanked his friends, filled the trailer with food, and then spent the night in a hole that he'd dug in the ground with a shovel. Now, just months before his 78th birthday, Ditmore still goes into the hole every night, using the trailer just for storage. His underground house has dirt walls and a dirt floor. He sleeps on a bed of newspapers and uses a wood-burning stove for heat. A skylight built into the piece of concrete that is his ceiling has been darkened by the smoke, but it still allows a little light in. To get to his underground room, Ditmore lifts the ceiling. Steps lead to the floor 7 feet below. He says it's comfortable enough, even when the temperature outside goes below freezing. Two bad knees force Ditmore to use canes made from tree branches to get around. Even so, he takes care of 30 head of cattle, 6 horses, a dozen chickens, and a few cats and dogs on his 80-acre farm. When he's finished his day's duties, Ditmore retires to his hole. There he cooks dinner, food is kept in the trailer's freezer, pops a few Snickers or Milky Way bars for dessert, and turns in for the night. A sweet-tempered man, Ditmore is a popular figure in Troy, although people were somewhat confused at first. But they seem to have accepted Ditmore's unusual lifestyle. "A lot of people want to believe he's crazy," said neighbor Jim Gilmore, "but they don't know him. He's just different. Not a hermit trying to hide from the real world. For example, he still sends birthday and Christmas cards to his relatives and friends. Believe me, Ernie is the nicest guy you'll ever meet, and everyone who knows him loves him."
Now, listen to the recording again. Remember that this time we will play the recording in shorter sections.
The 1,250 residents of Troy, Missouri, tend to think of Ernest Ditmore as somewhat eccentric. Partly it's because he's toothless and sooty. Mostly, it's because he lives in a hole. This is not to speak disparagingly of the man's abode. Ditmore, 78, resides in a hole dug 7 feet underground and partly covered by a cement slab, a 4-by-10-foot hole, complete with a chimney, stove, and a coal oil lantern. Ditmore was born and raised on a farm he calls home. A bachelor, he was living alone in his 6-room house when it was destroyed by fire in 1985. His friends and neighbors got together and bought him a trailer house. Ditmore was grateful. He thanked his friends, filled the trailer with food, and then spent the night in a hole that he dug in the ground with a shovel. Now, just months before his 78th birthday, Ditmore still goes into the hole every night, using the trailer just for storage. His underground house has dirt walls and a dirt floor. He sleeps on a bed of newspapers and uses a wood-burning stove for heat. A skylight built into the piece of concrete that is his ceiling has been darkened by the smoke, but it still allows a little light in. To get to his underground room, Ditmore lifts the ceiling. Steps lead to the floor 7 feet below. He says it's comfortable enough, even when the temperature outside goes below freezing. Two bad knees forced Ditmore to use canes made from tree branches to get around. Even so, he takes care of 30 head of cattle, 6 horses, a dozen chickens, and a few cats and dogs on his 80-acre farm. When he's finished his day's duties, Ditmore retires to his hole. There he cooks dinner, food is kept in the trailer's freezer, pops a few Snickers or Milky Way bars for dessert, and turns in for the night. A sweet-tempered man, Ditmore is a popular figure in Troy, although people were somewhat confused at first. But they seem to have accepted Ditmore's unusual lifestyle. "A lot of people want to believe he's crazy," said neighbor Jim Gilmore, "but they don't know him. He's just different. Not a hermit trying to hide from the real world. For example, he still sends birthday and Christmas cards to his relatives and friends. Believe me, Ernie is the nicest guy you'll ever meet, and everyone who knows him loves him."
That is the end of Task 1. Task 2. In this section, you will hear an interview with a university professor about the sleeping habits of animals. Your task will be to complete the sentences with two words in each sentence. Please use the exact words that you hear in the recording. First, you will have some time to study the task, and then we will play the whole recording in one piece. Then, you will hear the recording again, but this time we will play the text in shorter sections to give you enough time to write down your answers. Now look at the task in your booklet. Now, listen to the recording.
And now a question from one of our regular listeners, Mr. John Simmons from Leicester. Here it goes. All animals must rest, but do they really sleep as we know it? We've invited Dr. James Norton, Professor of Animal Ethology from the University of Pennsylvania, to answer this interesting question. Good morning, Professor Norton, and welcome to the studio. Well, do they sleep like we do?
Good morning. At first sight, the answer to this question seems obvious. If an animal regularly stops its activities and stays quiet and unmoving, if it looks as though it is sleeping, then why not simply assume that it is in fact sleeping? However, the scientifically correct answer is not quite as...
But how can observers be sure that an animal is sleeping?
Well, they can, of course, watch the animal and notice whether its eyes are open or closed, whether it is active or lying quietly, and whether it responds to light or sound. These factors are important clues, but they often are not enough. Horses and cows, for example, rarely close their eyes, and fish and snakes cannot close them. Yet this does not necessarily mean that they do not sleep. Have you ever seen a cat dozing with one eye partly open? Even humans have occasionally been observed to sleep with one or both eyes partially open. In addition, animals do not necessarily lie down to sleep either. Elephants, for example, often sleep standing up, with their tusks resting in the fork of a tree. Finally, while sleeping animals often seem unaware of changes in the sounds and light and other stimuli around them, that does not really prove that they are sleeping either.
So observation in itself might not be enough. Isn't that right?
Observations of animal behavior alone cannot fully answer the question of whether or not animals sleep. The answers come from doing experiments in sleep laboratories using a machine called the electroencephalograph, EEG. The machine is connected to animals and measures their brain signals, breathing, heartbeat, and muscle activity. The measurements are different when the animals appear to be sleeping than when they appear to be awake. Using the EEG, scientists have confirmed that all birds and mammals studied in laboratories do sleep. There is some evidence that reptiles, such as snakes and turtles, do not truly sleep, although they do have periods of rest each day in which they are quiet and unmoving. They also have discovered that some animals, like chimpanzees, cats, and moles, who live underground, are good sleepers, while others, like sheep, goats, and donkeys, are poor sleepers. Interestingly, the good sleepers are nearly all hunters with resting places that are safe from their enemies. Nearly all the poor sleepers are animals hunted by other animals. They must always be watching for enemies, even when they are resting.
Well, if animal ethology also answers some of the questions of human ethology, it might explain why I'm a rather poor sleeper myself. Anyway, thank you very much, Professor Norton.
You're welcome.
Now, listen to the recording again. Remember that this time we will play the recording in shorter sections.
And now a question from one of our regular listeners, Mr. John Simmons from Leicester. Here it goes. All animals must rest, but do they really sleep as we know it? We've invited Dr. James Norton, Professor of Animal Ethology from the University of Pennsylvania, to answer this interesting question. Good morning, Professor Norton, and welcome to the studio. Well, do they sleep like we do?
Good morning. At first sight, the answer to this question seems obvious. If an animal regularly stops its activities and stays quiet and unmoving, if it looks as though it is sleeping, then why not simply assume that it is in fact sleeping? However, the scientifically correct answer is not quite as...
But how can observers be sure that an animal is sleeping?
Well, they can, of course, watch the animal and notice whether its eyes are open or closed, whether it is active or lying quietly, and whether it responds to light or sound. These factors are important clues, but they often are not enough. Horses and cows, for example, rarely close their eyes, and fish and snakes cannot close them. Yet this does not necessarily mean that they do not sleep. Have you ever seen a cat dozing with one eye partly open? Even humans have occasionally been observed to sleep with one or both eyes partially open. In addition, animals do not necessarily lie down to sleep either. Elephants, for example, often sleep standing up, with their tusks resting in the fork of a tree. Finally, while sleeping animals often seem unaware of changes in the sounds and light and other stimuli around them, that does not really prove that they are sleeping either.
So, observation in itself might not be enough. Isn't that right?
Observations of animal behavior alone cannot fully answer the question of whether or not animals sleep. The answers come from doing experiments in sleep laboratories using a machine called the electroencephalograph, EEG. The machine is connected to animals and measures their brain signals, breathing, heartbeat, and muscle activity. The measurements are different when the animals appear to be sleeping than when they appear to be awake. Using the EEG, scientists have confirmed that all birds and mammals studied in laboratories do sleep. There is some evidence that reptiles, such as snakes and turtles, do not truly sleep, although they do have periods of rest each day in which they are quiet and unmoving. They also have discovered that some animals, like chimpanzees, cats, and moles, who live underground, are good sleepers, while others, like sheep, goats, and donkeys, are poor sleepers. Interestingly, the good sleepers are nearly all hunters with resting places that are safe from their enemies. Nearly all the poor sleepers are animals hunted by other animals. They must always be watching for enemies, even when they are resting.
Well, if animal ethology also answers some of the questions of human ethology, it might explain why I'm a rather poor sleeper myself. Anyway, thank you very much, Professor Norton.
You're welcome.
That is the end of task two. Task three. In this section, you're going to hear a story about Leighton Hewitt, the Australian tennis star. Your task will be to circle the letter or letters of the correct answer or answers in the boxes on the right. Please note that in this task, both answers may be correct. However, there is always at least one correct answer. This means you might have to circle one or two letters. First, you will have some time to look at the task. And then we will play the whole recording in one piece. Then you will hear the recording again. But this time we will play the text in shorter sections to give you enough time to write down your answers. Now look at the task in your booklet. Now, listen to the recording.
An overjoyed Leighton Hewitt, a former US Open and Wimbledon champion, announced the birth of his third child on the family's website over the weekend, but held back on her name. New baby Hewitt joins big sister Mia and big brother Cruz, probably named after Victoria and David Beckham's son, who spells it the same way. Her own name, however, is not yet known publicly. Following the announcement of the birth of their third child, Leighton and Beck Hewitt are letting fans in on the name of their new baby girl, but it won't be free. The terrific news is that the baby's name is for sale. You can buy it for $2 if you're interested. The pair are asking fans to sign up to the premium SMS service called Textastar. The mobile service was designed to allow fans to get an insight into the career and life of their favourite Australian sports stars, who send two messages a week to update subscribers about training and life in general without any media filter, as its Melbourne-based creators say on its website. In addition, subscribers can also send messages to their favourite stars. The mobile service charges subscribers $2 per text to receive messages from their favourite sports stars, promising real messages from real stars in real time, and charges the same price for messages sent to the stars. While the majority of the players on the service are from the country's football clubs, Hewitt is the standout among other sports. It is unclear how much former world number one Hewitt, now ranked 54th in the world, will profit from the venture. Mr. Ryan Berman, director of Textastar, would not reveal how much sports people who signed up to the service were paid, but said, as a matter of fact, Leighton is not interested in the money at all. All he wants is to communicate directly with his loyal fans, to give them an insight into his world before it gets disseminated by the mass media. Beck and Leighton, who previously signed an exclusive deal with the magazine Woman's Day for the first year of baby Mia's life, have again been criticised for cashing in on their children. The Hewitts signed an exclusive deal about their baby with another magazine, OK Magazine, which also published a large exclusive spread after their second child, Cruz's, birth in 2008.
Now, listen to the recording again. Remember that this time we will play the recording in shorter sections.
An overjoyed Leighton Hewitt, a former US Open and Wimbledon champion, announced the birth of his third child on the family's website over the weekend, but held back on her name. New baby Hewitt joins big sister Mia and big brother Cruz, probably named after Victoria and David Beckham's son, who spells it the same way. Her own name, however, is not yet known publicly. Following the announcement of the birth of their third child, Leighton and Beck Hewitt are letting fans in on the name of their new baby girl, but it won't be free. The terrific news is that the baby's name is for sale. You can buy it for $2 if you're interested. The pair are asking fans to sign up to the premium SMS service called Textastar. The mobile service was designed to allow fans to get an insight into the career and life of their favourite Australian sports stars, who send two messages a week to update subscribers about training and life in general without any media filter, as its Melbourne-based creators say on its website. In addition, subscribers can also send messages to their favourite stars. The mobile service charges subscribers $2 per text to receive messages from their favourite sports stars, promising real messages from real stars in real time, and charges the same price for messages sent to the stars. While the majority of the players on the service are from the country's football clubs, Hewitt is the standout among other sports. It is unclear how much former world number one Hewitt, now ranked 54th in the world, will profit from the venture. Mr. Ryan Berman, director of Textastar, would not reveal how much sports people who signed up to the service were paid, but said, as a matter of fact, Leighton is not interested in the money at all. All he wants is to communicate directly with his loyal fans, to give them an insight into his world before it gets disseminated by the mass media. Beck and Leighton, who previously signed an exclusive deal with the magazine Woman's Day for the first year of baby Mia's life, have again been criticised for cashing in on their children. The Hewitts signed an exclusive deal about their baby with another magazine, OK Magazine, which also published a large exclusive spread after their second child, Cruz's, birth in 2008.
That is the end of Task 3. And also the end of the listening exam.